you imagine doing that? I can't. I can't. You know, in our home growing up, I had a little experience for a while, lasted about 3 years of living with foster children. My grandmother had foster children. I lived with foster children. I got a letter from one the other day that I haven't seen in over 40 years. And he said, "How are you doing, my foster brother, Art?" And so I wrote him back, and I hope to contact him and maybe try to talk to him about the Lord. Let him know how I'm doing if he asked. But, you know, even your little heart back then, because my mother died, and I lived with my grandmother, and she loved foster children. She had almost, I don't know how many, about 20 live with her. But, you know, you get that little bit of jealousy there as humans, don't you? Man, I don't want to share anybody with them. I mean, we had to live in like a bay type of upstairs in our house where just bunk beds, bunk bed, bunk bed, bunk bed. It was like living in the army when I was a little kid. And you didn't want to share humanly. Humanly, I didn't want to share anything with anybody. You know, Jesus isn't like me, though. Jesus is saying, he's so selfless. He's saying, I want to share my Father with you. And I want to share everything my Father ever gave me with you. And this is the first lesson in the school of prayer. You've got to get this first two words, our Father. You've got to get it down in your heart. That God is not some just cold or maybe even benevolent dictator out there that puts up with you for a while. And gets mad at you every time you fall and every time you sin and every time you stumble and every time you disobey. And so what's the sense? No, you got to get over that once and for all if you're ever going to advance in prayer and have an effectual prayer life. You've got to start your prayer with the first two words, and you've got to mean it from your heart, like Jesus said 60 times, my Father. My Father. Now, the second lesson then builds on that, and that is, what kind of a son should we be? And what does that have to do with prayer? What kind of a son then should we be, and what does it have to do with prayer? Seeing it's a fact, God is my Father, I am his son. I now enter into a child-father relationship, and that's the lesson tonight, the child-father relationship and prayer. The child-father relationship and prayer. Does any son just ask his father for things all the time? Is that the extent of his relationship to his father? I don't think so, and yet that's how some, in fact, I'm guilty of it sometimes, approach God. It's just one there to take my requests. And it often doesn't work when we take the Our Father part and throw it out, and we just look at him as somebody to enhance my life. You know, so, oh God, give me health, give me money, give me safety, and do the same for my family, and you and I, we're going to be just fine. All right, no son treats his father that way. If he's going to have a good relationship with his father, and if he's going to, if I could say this right, get things from his father. And those that approach God that way in prayer often find that, quote, prayer, end quote, if we'll call it that, fails. And thus they become frustrated, they become disillusioned with God, disillusioned with prayer, disillusioned with church, disillusioned with the Bible, disillusioned with the spiritual realm, as they see God answering other people's prayers, but not their own. And they begin to get very, very frustrated about this. They say, well, it didn't work for me. I tried. It works for him. I don't know why, but it works for him. It works for her. It didn't work for me. But it could be simply that other person just has simply entered into a father-son relationship or a father-daughter relationship. And so I want to give you a few things here, and I promise at the end it'll make a little bit of sense on what it has to do with prayer. But I want to encourage you tonight to work on being a good son or a good daughter to your father. Now again, maybe you never experienced this humanly because you had a dysfunctional home or your dad died or divorced or something like that. You know, get out of the human realm and get into the spiritual realm tonight and work on being a good son or a good daughter to the Father. And I think there's four things now. There's four things I think that will help you. And then at the conclusion, I'll show you how it will bring answers to prayer into your life. How then should a good son or a good daughter act towards his father or her father? Well, a good son will do four things. Number one, he will love his father. He will love his father, or she will love his father, whichever you want to write down on your notes there. A good son, a good son will love his father. This is not something that everybody has done, and as a result, it will affect prayer. Listen to this. It says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, it's possible to be saved but not have the love of the Father in you. It's possible to be a saved person but not really love God. I mean, if you really study out the Great Commandment, which one of us has ever obeyed it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's repeated 15 times in the Bible. It tells us how to love God. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't quite done that. With all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. But that's how we're supposed to love Him. But there's some people that don't love the Father at all. I really believe they're saved, but they just don't love the Father. A good son will love his father. Jesus was a good son. Okay, he's always the example in these points. And he loved his father. He loved his father. And we're going to see in a moment here at the end, I'm going to show you, he got every one of his prayers answered. Jesus did. Number two, a good son or a good child will listen to his father. A good son will listen to his father. There are 23 examples in the book of Proverbs where a statement begins with the two words, my son, my son, my son. And this is God's wisdom speaking to mankind. And he says over and over again, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. And a good son will listen to his father. I believe it was Brother Scott. I'm not sure. I wrote it down. I should have brought it with me. But somebody made the profound statement at pastor school. They asked the question in the middle of the sermon that really affected me. They said, perhaps the father has not listened to your words because you have not listened to his words. And he stressed the importance. His words, by the way, are the Bible. He stressed the importance that when you read your Bible in the morning and in the evening and in the day or whenever you read your Bible, and we all ought to read our Bibles every day. But God is speaking to us. And a lot of times our prayer life is a reaping and sowing type of a truth that is applied to us. We reap what we sow. If we don't listen to God when He's speaking to us, He's not going to listen to us. You know. But if we really, really listen, I mean, every day when you get the Bible open in the morning, you say, oh God, speak to me. Give me something from your word. And then he speaks to you, and you take it into your heart, and you take it into your mind, and you take it with you during the day and say, this is what the Lord said to me. And you use it in your prayer life. The preacher was saying how it blesses the Father's heart when he hears you quoting his word in prayer, because then the Father says, he listened to me. She listened to me. Lord, you said in your word, if we then being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Lord, I ask you to give me thy Holy Spirit. You said in the word I should ask you to give me the Holy Spirit to fill me. What am I doing? I'm quoting the word of God back to the Lord. I'm showing him I listened. I listened to something you said. And so a son or a daughter needs to listen to his father. I mean, isn't that common sense? If you have a son or a daughter that never listens to you, no matter what you tell them, then they come up to you and they ask for something, what's your reaction probably going to be? Then number three, a good child will learn from his father. A good child will learn from his father. Not just listen, but learn from his father. And we see that this is when we really begin to please the Lord. When he looks at us as sons and daughters and says, wow, they not only listen, they learn, they're doing what I say. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. In verse 10 of chapter 4, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. Chapter 5 and verse number 7. Hear now therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. And there's many other like references in the book of Proverbs where we should not only hear what the Father is saying, but we should learn from them. Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And so he says, hear, don't just listen to me, but hear and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. And so here's somebody going through life, and they're guiding their heart. They're not letting their heart guide them like most human beings. All right, what's one of the quickest ways to wreck your life? Follow your heart. And don't follow your heart. Guide your heart. And so some man on earth or some lady on earth guides their heart. They don't follow their heart, they guide their heart. That means when you're guiding something, you're in front of it. I don't know if you've ever taken a tour. I remember in Israel, we took a tour, my wife and I, and the guy was always in front of us. We went through these roads in the Arab quarter of Jerusalem that just were lined and lined and lined with shops, and the roads were as narrow as this middle aisle right here. And he said, you've got to follow me or you're going to get lost, and if you get lost in here, you'll never get out. And so all the way through, he walked through the roads and the shops with something in the air. It was either an umbrella or a shepherd's staff. And all the way through, I mean, these places are just mobbed. Do you remember that? It was crazy. If you lost sight of them, you'd be in trouble. And he'd be going so on and so forth, and all these people would be trying to get us in to buy things and stuff. And he was guiding us. He was in front. You know, we're supposed to, when it says guide your heart, you're supposed to be in front of your heart, not following your heart. Man, so many lives have been destroyed by following their heart. Especially in things like marriage and dating and stuff. But, so God looks down and he sees a young man, a young lady, or any age, man or lady, and they're guiding their heart. They're not following their heart. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who want to follow that? And he sees that you've learned from the Father. You've learned from the Father. Any father has a little boy. And he says, now, son, I'm going to show you how to cut the grass, or I'm going to show you how to do this and how to do that. And the son listens to him, and then he observes the son doing exactly what he asks him to do, exactly the way he says to do it. You know what that gives the father? Gives him pleasure. pleases the Father to have a son like that. And last of all, be loyal. A good child will be loyal to his father. So number one, a good child will love his father. Number two, a good child will listen to his father. Number three, a good child will learn from his father. And then number four, a good child will be loyal to his father. In Malachi 1 and verse 6, the Lord asked this question. He said, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor?" You see, that one of the Ten Commandments is honor thy father and thy mother. Turn to John 8 at this time. I'd like you all to see this verse. John 8. I'm coming to an important conclusion here about prayer, so it's very important that you see this verse here, John 8, and look at verse number 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." That's not the exact word at verse I wanted. I'm sorry. There's a verse where he says, "I honor my Father," and I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong verse. I'll get back to you the next time. Verse 49. Okay, "but I honor my Father." Okay, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father." Thank you, Brother Glenn. "I honor my Father." Okay, that's very important. Number four, a good child will be loyal to his father. "I honor my father." That means that he holds his father up in high esteem and respect. He never does anything to embarrass his father. He never does anything that might bring reproach upon his father's name. But he constantly honors his father. He is loyal to his father. These are things that Jesus did, all four of these things. He loved his father. He listened to his father. Speaking about listening to his father, go back to John 5 and verse 19. You put this under point number two. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So notice, he follows the Father's example. He follows the Father's example. He listens to his Father. He sees, what does my Father do? And then he follows his Father's example. He loves his Father. He listens to his Father. He learns from his Father. He's loyal to his Father. And that's why he would then say in John 8, if you're there still, look at verse 29. Look at the end of verse 29. What a statement. "For I do always those things that please him." See, this is, we're talking about the child-father relationship and what it has to do with prayer. Can you imagine having such a testimony? "I do always those things that please him." Now, these weren't just words of braggart or boasting. Because there was one time at the beginning of Jesus' ministry at his baptism where the heavens actually opened and an audible voice came from heaven that said these words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That was at the beginning of his ministry. 3 years later, he's up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are there. 3 years later, almost at the end of his ministry, and the heavens open up, and an audible voice comes out, and what does it say? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So all of the years, from the start of his ministry to the end, he pleased the Father. He honestly said, I do always those things that please him. He counted his relationship to his Father extremely important. Now in the light of that, notice this testimony, John 11, verse 42, and then we'll close. We'll begin to close. John 11, verse 42. Now notice, because he was the perfect son, he was the perfect son who loved his Father, listened to his Father, learned from his Father, was loyal to his Father, he now makes this statement about his prayer life. John 11, verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And what did he say? Verse 41, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You see, he spent his life pleasing the Father. And that way there, whenever he needed to speak to the Father, he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. And then notice this statement, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of assurance when you got down on your knees in prayer? I knew you heard me always. Did you ever get done praying and say, boy, I wonder if you heard that? Did you ever get down honestly and say, Lord, I know you don't really need to listen to me the way I've been behaving, but then you try it anyway. So Jesus always pleased the Father, and the Father always heard the Son. Let me say that again. Jesus always pleased the Father, and the Father always heard the Son. Now, that model serves for us as a condition to answer prayer. And now I want to close. Turn to 1 John and chapter 3. And I want to show you this principle now, and how the same principle applies to you and I as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Look what it says. This conditional prayer promise, 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Well, it'd be nice if it ended there, wouldn't it? It doesn't end there. What does it say? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. You will have a better prayer life if you will love your Heavenly Father, if you will listen to your Heavenly Father, if you will learn from your Heavenly Father, and if you will be loyal to your Heavenly Father. These are the things that please a Father. And it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I think there's been dozens of times where I've turned to this verse right here when people are frustrated with prayer. They say, it doesn't work for me. Where I've opened to this verse and had them read it and asked them, are you keeping the conditions? Prayer is a conditional thing. Are you trying? Now, of course, we're not as good as Jesus. We're not divine. We're not deity. But I believe, and I'll just throw my opinion in here in closing, I believe that any father who sees a child even try, he will come to that child's help. He will come to that child's help. And I believe if God will see us tonight at least just trying to please him, trying to obey him, we can say, Lord, you said in your word, whatsoever I ask, I receive, because I keep your commandments and do what's pleasing in your sight. Father, you know I'm trying. I'm trying. And I believe that person will have a more effectual prayer life then many believers who don't keep his commandments argue about them, fight over them. That's not for today. Don't try to please the Father. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for our school tonight of prayer. Lord, help us to remember our first lesson, that you are our Father. And I pray again for those here tonight who have had, maybe didn't have a father. Their father may have deserted them. Their father may have ignored them. Their father may have hurt them. Their father may have abused them. Oh, God, I pray, Father, that they would get their concept of you from the Bible and nowhere else, that you care, you pity, you love, you think about us. You even take pleasure in the prosperity of your servants. And then this second lesson, because you are our Father, we need to be good sons and daughters, loving you, listening to you, learning from you, being loyal to you in a world that doesn't want to do anything you say. Lord, you'll look at us and you'll be pleased if we're even trying. Oh God, if we're here tonight and we're a guilty distance from thee, forgive us if we're refusing to obey some commandment, forgive us. If we're not trying to live to please you, forgive us and make us better so, Lord, we can please you. And then whatsoever we ask, we shall receive of thee. Thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen.